The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And Jesus said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite commentators on the Psalms is Walter Brueggemann, and he describes the Psalms in a way of looking big picture at the Psalms as Psalms of orientation, of disorientation, and reorientation. And that in the Psalms we find Israel walking through life, oriented towards God, disoriented by the ways of this world, and then reoriented into praise of God as King. I think if we look at prophecy, we can see that in the same way that the prophet calls out, "Look to God, you're looking away. Now return and look again at what God is doing in this time." You know, prophecy isn't predicting the future. Prophecy is seeing the truth of God in this moment. And that truth of God in this moment may reveal what is in the future. It may reveal what is about to happen as a consequence of this moment, either good or bad, depending on our perspective. But prophecy is a forthtelling of God's truth, not a foretelling of something that may or may not happen. Jesus, in our passage today, foretells God's truth into a very specific moment and into all moments. So we have to ask ourselves as we orient here, where are we in Luke's gospel, in this narrative of Jesus and the church? The narrative that begins, as we'll begin in a couple of weeks, with the birth of Jesus. A birth that is contrary to the kingdoms of the world. Jesus is proclaimed from a manger as being born in a palace. Hear the good news of the King that is to come. John the Baptist comes before as Elijah. As Malachi has foretold, the one who comes to prepare the way, the one who comes to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. A ministry that begins in Galilee, in the area where Jesus was born, with signs and wonders of healing and of restoration. You know, we've spent the last several months walking that journey of the gospel from Galilee to Jerusalem. As Jesus, the country prophet and healer, walks towards his death and enthronement as king. We didn't read the triumphal entry of Jesus that occurs in the chapter before our gospel today. We'll read that during Holy Week as we rehearse the life of Jesus in the life of the church, and we proclaim Palm Sunday. But now we've seen Jesus teaching in the temple in that last week of his life. And our gospel today is actually the last public teaching of Christ before the Last Supper and his betrayal, his trial, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. So that's where we are in the gospel. Jesus standing in Jerusalem, leaving the Temple Mount for the last time as a teacher, to return for his coronation as the cross becomes a throne. And the people around him, his disciples, are looking out and they're saying, "Look at the beauty of this temple." And Jesus says, "That's nothing. It's a vapor." So where are we in the church year? As we orient ourselves into our cyclical journey through the life of Jesus and the life of the church, we're actually at the next to the last Sunday in our calendar. Next Sunday will be the end of the church year. Christ the King Sunday, as we recognize the culmination of our journey as a church to Christ enthroned. And then the next Sunday we'll begin the year again with Advent, as we come from Christ the King to a longing for the Christ that is not yet King. We rehearse the coming of Christ into the world, and we look forward to the coming of Christ again through Advent. At Christmas, we celebrate the miracle of the Incarnation. At Epiphany, we celebrate the light going out to the Gentiles. In Lent, we recognize our own need for healing and redemption. In Easter, we glorify in that healing and redemption in the resurrected Christ. And then at Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the body of Christ, the church. And then we journey through ordinary time, the life of the church, as we look at what it means to follow Christ in the world today. And that journey takes us through the ministry of Christ to this Sunday, as we begin to recognize the King has come into his city. The King is here. And it's a kingdom that we can't even begin to understand with our own eyes. So where are we? Where are we on this very day? We stand in the now and not yet kingdom. The victory of Christ over sin and death that was won in the crucifixion and the resurrection. We stand fully in that redemption, and yet we look out at a world that is still broken and hurting. We look in a mirror at people who are still broken and hurting. And yet we know the promise of Christ, and we long for the not yet that is there. We stand oriented toward the kingdom, but sometimes so very distant. Jesus calls into that disorientation as the disciples look to the temple and say, "Look at that beauty." And Jesus says, "That beauty is nothing." In just a few years, it will be torn stone from stone. That temple that Herod the imposter, Herod the Edomite, built for his own glory and not for God's. The monuments that are set up as offerings to the glory of the donor and not to the glory of God. The temple that is glorious, yet nothing compared to the true temple. I'm reminded of the evangelist K.P. Yohanan. Born in India, schooled in Germany, comes for advanced schooling in Dallas, Texas, and the guy picks him up from the airport, and they're driving through Dallas, and he says, "Look at that church there built for $9 million. Look at that church there. They just spent $13 million. And K.P. Yohanan looks over and he says, "All this for a man who who said, "The Son of Man has no house to lay his head." Sometimes we glorify ourselves and pretend it's for God. Jesus calls to them, "Do not be led astray." He warns against the false prophets that will say, "I am the one you must follow. The time is now." He warns for those who would refuse to be disoriented from the ways of the kingdom of this world, who, like the ancient Israelites, want a king like all the other nations and a kingdom like the kingdoms of this world, only ours. Those who look for a kingdom built on exclusion and coercion, on greed and control. Then he warns of turmoil and persecution. He warns that when you proclaim my name, when you proclaim my kingdom, the world will be against you. It will feel like you are away from God, but this is a blessing. This is where you get to proclaim the power and the presence of the kingdom of God. This is where you can be my witness. You know, this is the outline that Luke uses in his second volume in Acts. The church is persecuted and God is glorified. We see that in Stephen, in John and Peter, in Paul. The gospel spreads in persecution. You know, sometimes it takes courage to proclaim the gospel in a world that is devoid of it, in a world that is against it. It's like the little boy in the emperor's new clothes who's the only one that has courage to say, "He's naked." Sometimes we're the only one standing there saying, "He's naked." And the world says, "No, no, no, those look great." Sometimes we don't want to open our eyes to see whether the tie matches the shirt. Sometimes we don't want to hear what is truly going on. Sometimes we don't want to see the blessing in what hurts. Those of you who have come to see me and we've talked about your spiritual journey will recognize the question, where was the gift in that? Because when we come out of trial, when we come out of suffering, when we come out of a time of pain, we can look back and say, this is where God was at work. It's very hard to see it in that time. But as we come back, we can look back and say, where was the gift? Where was the gift where I learned God's power and presence even in my suffering? Where was it that I recognized Emmanuel on the cross? You know, Malachi talks about this as well. You know, prophets are always disorienting and a little bit disturbing. Malachi calls out to the people, and this is in the time after Israel has returned from Babylon. They built the temple, probably the time after Ezra and into the time of Nehemiah. As you look at the events in Malachi, it's hard to place exactly where it was because Israel was so often, we're with God, we're against God, we're with God, we're against God. But in one of those times, Malachi calls out, and he calls against those who don't worship well, the priests who worship God and everything else, who oppress the people around them in the name of the service of God. And the people look around and they say, why should I even do this? Serving God is foolish. See, even the wicked prosper. Those who are arrogant and proud, we name as blessed. Doesn't sound terribly different from today. We look around at those who follow God and we call them foolish. We look at those who are arrogant and rich and we call them blessed. We look at ourselves when things are good and we say, oh, I'm so blessed. God wants our blessing even in the time of our deepest pain, even in the time of our persecution, even when everyone has turned against us. God says, you are blessed not because of all of that, but because you're mine. Paul warns kind of on the other side. He writes to a church in Thessalonica, and there are some there who say, well, if God's coming back, if Christ is returning so soon, why should I do anything? I'll just sit and wait. No, don't bother me. I'm waiting on God. No, I can't do the dishes. I'm waiting on God. And they become a burden on the church in their self-made piety. They become a church that is more interested in meddling, in being busybodies and saying how the other people aren't doing it right, than the church that is busy at mending the things that are broken. The church that is tending to the sick and healing and practicing the ministry of reconciliation. They're more interested in complaining than in prayer. They're more interested in pointing fingers than in truly serving. It's a church that needs to be disoriented back from dwelling in the not yet to the ministry of the now. You know, it's kind of the story of the church, if we look at it. The church, big C, has always had difficulty with the questions, what is beautiful? What is blessed? And what does it mean to wait faithfully? It's a church that's in need of reorientation, just as we are. The uncertainty and struggle of the now and the not yet that we live in is inherently disorienting. We're pulled in many directions. Sometimes we're excluded and ridiculed. Sometimes we see the wicked prosper. Our own certainty is challenged in dark times when it's difficult to see the kingdom in our midst. That's when we look to the promise. We're reoriented to the not yet, looking at the now. We shouldn't be surprised how radical this reorientation is. Jesus comes into the world proclaiming, the kingdom is not what you think. The same words that proclaim the birth of an emperor proclaim the birth of a child to an unwed mother in a manger in a backwater town. And the same Jesus comes into Jerusalem, proclaimed as a king. Everybody cries out, Hosanna to the King of David. Hosanna, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to make Israel great again. And we're going to be a kingdom greater than all of the other kingdoms. We're going to be just like them, but better. And Jesus says, this is my throne. A cross. And my crown is a crown of thorns. And the robe that they put on me tries to mock me, but it is mocking their own view of kingdom. Jesus reorients us to the cross as the way of the kingdom. He reorients us to be able to see our persecution and our trial as a time to bear witness to the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God that is there even when we don't have faith reorients us to see death as life. You know, after our passage today, Jesus goes on to describe the destruction of Jerusalem. What will happen is this revolt as people say, I'm the one to lead you. And people follow and they rise up against Rome, and Rome comes and crushes Jerusalem. As Jerusalem is set fire and the gold of the temple melts and seeps between the rocks, and the soldiers tear the temple stone from stone, to pry out the gold. He then looks and he says, in all of the cosmos will be in turmoil as the Christ comes to claim his kingdom. He calls us to look at our current experience, the things of this day, from the perspective of the new heaven and the new earth. That's how Jesus looks. He looks not from the now to the not yet. He looks from his coming glory that already is, from the new heaven and the new earth to what is now. And he says, come and look with me. Come and participate in the kingdom in the now. And come to the not yet. Malachi describes what happens when a people hear the word of the prophet. And they turn away from the ways of the world into the ways of God. And those faithful people come and they sign a book and they say, we are with the Lord. Then Malachi says, and Elijah is to come. You know, Elijah called the people to repentance. Elijah came and demonstrated the power of God against the idols of the world. All the prophets of Baal gathered. And he says, okay, if Baal is really God, have him bring down fire and light your sacrifice. And of course, Baal couldn't do that. He's not God. And Elijah calls down the fire of the Lord and it consumes his sacrifice and all the prophets of Baal. Israel rises up and kills those who remain that have bowed the knee to Baal. And Elijah goes and says, I feel like I'm all alone. God, let me just die. God calls Elijah into his presence for renewal, for healing. And he says, and yet there is a faithful remnant, 4,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. There is a faithful remnant. Even in our discouragement of worship and of ministry, we are called to recognize the power of God, to be oriented toward the power of the kingdom and those who remain faithful. Paul calls to us, to the church in Thessalonica, do not grow weary in doing good. And may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. At all times and in every way. It is Christ who gives us peace and the words to speak and the power to act. At our high points and at our low points, it is Christ who is with us. Emmanuel, the Lord with us in our poverty and in our wealth, in our joy and in our discouragement, in our suffering, in our death, in our resurrection, and in our life. So where are we today as we come to this table, as we come to encounter the not yet kingdom in our very now? Are we oriented to the kingdom of God or to the kingdom of this world? Probably the better question is, in what ways are we oriented to the kingdom of the world, and in what ways are we oriented toward the kingdom of God? How are we keeping score on our lives? How are we disoriented and discouraged by trials, by deceit, by betrayal, by our comparison with others, the wicked are blessed? And are we coming willing to allow our encounter with the risen Christ to reorient us to his eternal kingdom, to his presence and power within us and among us? And then are we willing to be sent out? To be sent out as agents, as ambassadors, as witnesses to the kingdom of God. Indeed. May the Lord stir us up. May he stir up our wills so that we may not grow weary, but bring forth the fruit of good works. May we wait faithfully for the fullness of the kingdom to be, and may we manifest the glory of Christ until he returns. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.